messengers ahead of them. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We might be familiar with the saying, if you give them an inch, they will take a mile. Reality when it comes to how we can abuse the freedom that we've received. We might think of this as something that children are guilty of. I know I do as a parent. You give them an inch, and they will take a mile. But it's not just children. We see this in humanity. Part of our sinfulness and brokenness is that we're never quite satisfied. We always want more and more and more. And when we abuse our freedom, it becomes a matter of, what can I get away with? We're reminded to love one another, but we're still, at the same time, tempted to devour one another, as we heard in Galatians. This is what Paul is warning us about. In Galatians, Paul is concerned with how we use our freedom. It cannot be used inwardly to just indulge myself and divorce myself from the needs of neighbor or the community. The freedom that Paul speaks of and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ looks very different from how we define freedom as Americans in our society that tends to center freedom on the concept of myself, but it also really contrasts our understanding of freedom in the world at large. Liv Larson Anderson writes, "Paul wants us to move about the world in a way that bear love toward our neighbors. To invite us into that mode of transportation, he speaks profoundly good news. Christ has set us free. We are set free. Like the tastiest pomegranate jewels, these words dazzle on the tongue as they nourish. We need to eat them, take them into our bodies, and let them guide us. We need to ingest this good news. Otherwise, we may distort God's word and end up consuming each other. It is when we're in opposition to the Spirit that we're quick to devour one another. We put our faith in other things, and those idols can take hold over us. When our trust is not in God, even if we claim God with our words, but not our hearts, we will most certainly devour our neighbor." For example, Ben Cramer puts it this way when speaking of the idol of religious nationalism. Quote, "The fruit of religious nationalism is fear, coercion, justifying violence, power by any means, slander, greed, exclusion, aggression, and controlling others. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. End quote. This is one idol among many in our society and in our world that produces fruit, but it's bad fruit. It's contrary to the way of the gospel. It's counter to the way of Jesus Christ. And it's clear that not only us, but the world knows when we're producing good fruit and bad fruit of the bad fruit. They know when we're producing fruit that is of the Spirit and not. They tell us. Because people, whether they're inside or outside the church, they know the difference. The Spirit does not guide us to control or devour our neighbor, but to love them. As we see in the fruits of the Spirit, self-control is one of those fruits. Freedom in Christ, then, is not about controlling others. It's about controlling ourselves. Bending the knee to devour our neighbor and to live a life that truly shares the love of Jesus. Filled with love, not fear. Seeking to submit and to serve our neighbor, not trying to coerce. Not bearing false witness against our neighbor, but seeing their actions in the best possible light, as Luther writes in the Small Catechism. No longer motivated by greed, but living a life of generosity. Guided by the Spirit, we're no longer gatekeeping. Seeking who and how we can exclude others, but to include. To include with kindness and gentleness. Beloved children of God, we are freed in Christ. We are inheritors of God's kingdom. Look what happens in contrast to when we give a broken humanity an inch and we take a mile. What we do with that mile? What happens when God gets an inch? Right? What's that scripture? As far as east is from the west, right? Look what God does with just an inch. We receive forgiveness, freedom, and eternal life. In Christ, we are a new creation, and in following Jesus, we embody what it means to be a new human being. And those fruits of the Spirit spring forth in our lives. They spring forth in all of those who follow the way of Jesus. In Christ, in that inch that God shows us, that God takes, we get a glimpse of God's grace, and we're invited to go as far as humanly possible in sharing the love of Jesus in this world. We oppose the flesh by seeking not to control others, to demonstrate self-control, to be centered in the Word, to be strengthened in the sacraments, that our freedom is no longer abused for personal gain, but used in ways that serve the neighbor, because Jesus reminds us that we are to not only love our neighbor, but even expands the definition and understanding of who our neighbor is. We naturally want to avoid the way of the cross and be turned to the ways of the world, to abuse our freedoms, to devour the neighbor. But as we heard in Galatians, we're to be slaves to one another. Slaves to one another. A commitment to the neighbor that sounds even stronger and harder to dismiss than the generic love of neighbor. The cross of Christ transforms us, and we're to embody a cruciform way of life in following the way of Jesus. As we heard in Galatians, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Should give us an image of daily dying and rising to new life in Jesus Christ. As Luther writes in the Small Catechism on the Sacrament of Baptism, quote, "It signifies that the old person in us, with all sins and evil desires, is to be drowned and die, through daily sorrow for sin and through repentance. And on the other hand, that daily a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever." We are born again every day. We are born anew every day in Jesus Christ. To paraphrase Luther, we are free in Christ, subject to no one. But we are free in Christ, servant of all. It's the paradox that we're invited into in understanding this freedom. Christ has set us free. This is good news. So some questions I leave you with is, what does freedom in Christ feel like? How does freedom in Christ move you? How is the freedom that we have in Christ different from the concepts of freedom that we see in our culture? Beloved children of God, if we are producing good fruit, then we share it. We don't keep it for ourselves. We do not just look out for ourselves. There are those in our society that proclaim freedom with a loud voice. And it seems at times it's the louder voices that win. Voices that care only for me and not we. But freedom cannot just be about us. When we hold on to fruit for too long, what happens to it? It goes bad. It rots. It must be shared with those around us. When we hang on to fruit for too long, our souls rot. We prevent ourselves from moving forward in the way of Jesus as guided by the Spirit. And we can attest to how in our own congregation that the freedom of Christ does different things to us and in us and through us as we seek to share the love of Jesus in this community. The good news is that in knowing Jesus, in knowing the freedom that we have in Jesus, that we are free from sin, free from the fear of sin, free from the fear of death. And the Spirit sends us forth to share that fruit that builds us up in our community, that builds the community up around us, not just our church family, but the wider community. And guided by the Spirit, let us be slaves to one another. Let us be free to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in dying and rising with Christ each and every day, may we share that fruit, that love, so that all people can get a taste of everlasting freedom. Thanks be to God. Amen.